From a distance, Keller watched until he saw the bright red of Cordelia's hair as she walked alone toward the creek. He circled, walking his horse so as not to make too much noise. The only reason he was approaching Cordelia alone like this, he told himself, was because of the hostility her brother had exhibited last time. After taking the chance of bringing the flower with him, he didn't want Henry refusing to accept it, the way he had tried to turn down the two hams. As he neared the creek, he dismounted and led his horse closer. He stepped through the screen of brush and heard a gasp of surprise from Cordelia. Quickly, he held up his hand. "It's all right, Miss Brennan. I mean you no harm. It's Joseph Keller." She carried a fishing pole in her hand and brought it in front of her, as if she wouldn't hesitate to use it as a weapon if need be. Keller thought she looked utterly charming. In a voice that shook just slightly, she asked, "What are you doing here, Lieutenant?" "I brought this for you." He held up the pouch. "It's flour. I thought you could use it."
"How did you get it? Did you steal it from your company's mess tent?"
That was exactly what he'd done, but he didn't want to admit that, even to her. So he said, "That doesn't matter. What's important is that I think you should have it."
"Why do we deserve it any more than any other family around here? We're hardly the only ones in Culpeper County who are having a hard time of it."
She was full of questions, Keller thought. Good questions, perhaps, but ones he didn't want to answer. As he hesitated, she went on,
"And why do you come skulking around like this? You must have been watching the farm, or you wouldn't have known that I was down here."
"Your brother, the last time I was here, your brother wasn't pleased, and he didn't want to take what I brought." Keller took a deep breath. "I understand the way he feels, Miss Brennan. I'm sure I would feel the same way if the situation were reversed, but it's not. And we have to deal with things the way they are." Cordelia came a step closer, but she kept the fishing pole between the two of them.
"That doesn't answer my real question. Why are you trying to help us, Lieutenant? You may not consider us your enemies, but we are, you know. We're on opposite sides in this war, and there's nothing we can do about that."
"One day soon this damn war will be over," Keller burst out, startling himself with the vehemence of his reaction. For the moment he had forgotten completely about the disappointment he felt that he had not experienced combat. "Then we'll all be countrymen again. I just want to help, Miss Brennan. I think you and your family are good, decent people." She looked at him in silence for a long moment. He could tell she was considering what he had said. He saw as well that she didn't accept it completely. Maybe he needed to say more. "And I believe you to be a very fine young lady, and I would be honored if you would allow me to... His voice trailed off. He was stunned at what he was about to say, and he couldn't finish it. Cordelia's eyes widened. She looked startled, too. She said, "Lieutenant Keller, were you about to ask me if you could come calling on me?" His lips tightened, and he lifted his chin.
"And if I was?"
"You realize that under the circumstances such behavior would be highly improper."
Now that he had dug himself into this hole by revealing his true feelings, he could do nothing but press on.
"As I said, the war will be over soon. God willing, and things will be different."
"Will they?"
She was maddening, beautiful but maddening.
"One can only hope."
Again, a moment of silence went by, while Cordelia thought about what they had said. Then she held out her hand.
"Give me the flower."
Keller handed it over.
"Thank you."
"It's me who should be thanking you," she said, smiling and gesturing with the pole toward the creek behind her. "Dobie's run is about fished out. I probably wouldn't have caught anything. For some reason, I just can't stop trying, though. My brothers used to bring me down here to fish. Those were wonderful times."
"I'm sure they were."
"My brother Will was killed at Cold Harbor, you know."
"Well, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm sure he was a fine man."
"Yes, he was. Cordelia gazed down at the ground for a moment, and when she lifted her head, tears glistened in her eyes as she looked at Keller.
"I come down here to fish quite often, Lieutenant. If you'd care to join me on occasion, you'd be welcome."
Keller's heart thudded heavily in his chest, and his throat felt as if a band had been drawn tight around it. For a moment he was unable to speak, then he swallowed a couple of times. "It would be my honor and privilege, Miss Brannan." Cordelia smiled, and Keller thought he was going to die of happiness right there on the bank of the creek. That was the start of it. A couple of times each week, he rode out to the farm and met her at the creek, away from the farmhouse, and concealed from curious eyes by the trees and brush that grew along the stream. He brought food with him each time. Not much, never more than a bit of flour, or sugar, or bacon, but it was all he could manage. And he was sure it helped sustain the Brannan family. He wanted to think so, anyway. As time passed, he and Cordelia became more comfortable with each other. She told him about her life, and he spoke of growing up in Ohio and teaching at the academy. Cordelia seemed especially interested in that. He sensed that she had a real thirst for education. She had attended school very little in her life. Perhaps when the war was over, he could do something to help her. When those thoughts went through his head, he did his best to stifle them. It wouldn't do to think too much about what might happen after the war. The fighting was still going on. There was still plenty of dying to be done. He might still find himself in battle, and if that happened, if he had to kill some of Cordelia's countrymen, she might not feel the same way about him as she did now. Their friendship might be over before it had the opportunity to grow into something else. For now, they had to live in the present and let the future take care of itself. And as the season edged toward autumn, the happiness he felt increased each time he saw her.
"Thieving, sneaking son of a bitch."
The lieutenant was taking food to the rebels, Vernon McCafferty thought, as he sat his horse on the crest of a rolling hill near the Brannan farm.
He knew that Lieutenant Keller had disappeared from time to time over the past few weeks, and he had wondered where the young officer was going. Keller never vanished when he was on duty. Whatever errands he was carrying out, he did them when he wouldn't be missed. Finally, McCafferty's curiosity had gotten the better of him, and today he had followed the lieutenant. Almost as soon as Keller rode out of Culpeper, McCafferty figured out where he was going. The sergeant lifted a spyglass to his eye and squinted. Keller's figure appeared in the glass, seemingly brought closer. McCafferty watched him ride past the trees to the creek. Through the screen of brush and tree trunks, McCafferty kept his gaze fixed on the blue of Keller's uniform. A moment later, he saw a flash of reddish gold as well. The Brannan girl had red hair. McCafferty remembered it well from the one time he had seen her, when the patrol picked up her brother. The girl was well worth noticing, he thought. She had a pretty face and big eyes and all that thick red hair. McCafferty's tongue came out and touched his lips as he remembered the curves of her body and the proud way her bosom filled the front of her dress. Yeah, she was a looker. He was willing to bet she would be a mighty sweet lover, too. A fresh-faced kid like Keller didn't deserve anything that sweet, McCafferty told himself. The Brannan girl needed somebody older, somebody who could appreciate how truly fine she was, somebody with some experience like him. A spitfire like that would need some taming, and Vernon McCafferty was just the man to give it to her. He watched the play of movement through the trees, unable to tell exactly what they were doing over there. He could hazard a guess, though, and the images that possibility called up in his brain made him even more determined that he would have Cordelia Brannan for himself. He already had plans, big plans, and while Cordelia wasn't part of them, he saw no reason why he couldn't delay things long enough to pay her a visit. If she was impressed with Lieutenant Keller, just wait until she had herself a real man, McCafferty thought. He grinned, closed the spyglass and stowed it away, then turned his horse and rode back toward Culpeper, his brain filled with visions of Cordelia Brannan and all the things he was going to do to her.